Well, I'm the privileged one. I'm so honored to be here in front of you guys. And it's just so exciting because my home church and my sisters in the Lord, and I really feel like I'm with family. And so it's just awesome, awesome to be here. And I've been asked to speak on the subject of surrendered soul. And for me, I'm really excited to speak on this subject because all glory going to God. That is the only reason I'm standing in front of you guys today, because a little over 9 years ago, I came before the Lord. I put my faith in Him. I surrendered my soul, and I asked Him to be the Lord of my life, and my life has never been the same since. If you would allow me, I'd like to give a little bit of my testimony. When I was a teenager, I was not a Christian. My life was surrendered to self. I lived a self-centered life. Whatever I wanted to do, I would do it. If I saw something in the store, I would steal it. Whatever I wanted to do, pretty much, as long as I wasn't hurting anyone else, I could do it. It was free. Everything was okay. Well, when I was 12 years old, my father got diagnosed with a brain tumor. And over a period of a couple years, he had, you know, seizures, a stroke, and became paralyzed on his right side. And he died when I was 15 years old. And 2 months before that happened, I met a boy in school and I started dating him. His name is Hassan Villegas, who is my pastor and my husband. Well, we got together and caused a lot of trouble together, let me tell you. started fornicating, living in fornication. We got involved deeply in drugs and just partying. And because my dad dying and meeting Hassan all at the same time, I developed like an unhealthy relationship to him. I would not let him go. Whatever he could do, whatever he wanted to me, and I was going to stay because I didn't want to, you know, lose another man. And so I was a wreck, to say the least. I'm not going to go into details, but it was emotion. I was an emotional punching bag, and I allowed myself to be that. So anyways, we were one of those couples also that broke up, got back together, broke up and got back together. And one of the times we were broken up, I found out I was pregnant. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because I knew he had always said we were going to terminate the pregnancy. That was just like a given. You know, we had talked about it before. And so what I did is I said, well, I'm going to call him and just let him know that, you know, he's going to be a dad, and I know what he's going to say, but just so he knows, and I was planning on just raising this baby by myself, because I wasn't planning on sharing this, but it just got put on my heart, because I had already had an abortion when I was 17, and nobody knew. My mom didn't know. We hid it from everybody, but this time when I got pregnant, even though I wasn't a Christian, I said that was the worst thing I could have ever done. I wasn't going to do it again. So I was going to keep my baby. When I called him, he said, "This is God." And I just went, "What are you smoking? You know, what's going on?" And he said, "This is God." And so I went over to his house, and he said, I don't know, I've just been asking God for a sign to show himself to me. And I just think this is a sign from God. He hadn't yet given his life to the Lord yet. And anyways, that same month, God was doing something right at this exact time. He got invited to church. He gave his life to the Lord, and he was radically saved. I mean, no drugs. I mean, just one of those that we talked about earlier. He was just delivered, and he knew he was going to be in ministry. And so, you know, he invited me. He's like, "You got to come." So I went, and I did. At the altar call, I raised my hand just because, not necessarily about anything that was said. I just wanted to see. I wanted to give him a chance. And I'm so, so thankful I did. God has done such a work in me that I can't even tell you. But he's not done, and he's still working on me. And I learned that surrendering my soul that one time, it's not just that one time. It's daily surrendering my soul. I'm not talking about doing the sinner's prayer every morning. I wanted to make that clear. I'm not coming before the Lord and saying, you know, forgive me of my sins and coming back to him, because I didn't walk away from him, but daily just coming before the Lord and just surrendering everything, dying to myself, asking for his will to be done in my life, and surrendering my will for his. And if anyone knows what a struggle that is, it's me. Moving to Mexico wasn't the easiest task, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but first I wanted to see if you guys could please open to Luke 9:23. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.'" Verse 25, also in Matthew 16, verse 26, it says, "If he gains the whole world but loses his soul." And there is a consequence for living for ourselves, for living for this world. There is a consequence at the end. You know, it reminds me of the smile now, cry later emblem. If you've seen that on, you know, a lot of gangsters wear that on their t-shirts. It's got a smiley face and then a sad face. And that's how this world lives. Smile now, live for yourself now, do whatever you want now. But you know what? They don't think about the cry later part. You are going to cry later if you don't surrender your soul to Jesus. And that's just how it is. You know, the Bible, Jesus summed up the commandments in two things. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, mind. I'm getting them mixed up, but all of those things. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Satan also has a Bible. And all his commandments are summed up into, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. His whole satanic Bible is do what you want when you want to do it. It is self-serving and is totally opposite of what God has us do, to deny ourselves. He says live for self. God says deny yourself. And God knows what's good for us. But I believe most of us want to surrender our soul. Most of us want to live for him and deny ourselves. We know that the scriptures are good. We could say amen to them, but why don't we listen? I have six reasons here why we don't listen, and I've gone through all of them, so you're not alone. Number one is maybe we doubt God's word. Maybe we doubt God. Maybe we doubt God's intentions for us. We think he's not listening. We think he doesn't care about us. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Cast your care upon him because he cares for you." Don't listen to that lie of the enemy. He cares for you. He cares for you. I wanted to take a look at some people that doubted. The Israelites in the wilderness. And you could, sometimes when you read the Bible, it's like, how did they doubt? Man, look at all the plagues that they went through. They saw plague after plague after plague to deliver them out of bondage, out of slavery. Even the Passover, their children did not get touched, only the Egyptians. And then they get out, and then they're backed up against the Red Sea, and the enemy's coming against them. And God performs a miracle and parts the Red Sea. And they walk through that Red Sea, and their enemies got devoured. And then after that, they're in the wilderness, and they're doubting God. It's like, don't they see that God cares for them? But maybe God is asking you guys that right now. Don't you see all that I've done for you? don't you see? I delivered you out of, look where you used to be. Sometimes you forget where you used to be. And it's like God delivered you out of all of that. And now where we're at, and sometimes even the trials that we've gone through, God parts the Red Sea for us and gets us and walks us through. And we forget, but we can't. We can't forget. And the awesome thing about God, he's so awesome. He's such a gentleman. And it says, it reminds me of when Peter was walking on water. Let's turn to it. And Matthew 14:29. Just to set it up, if anyone doesn't know, the disciples were in a boat. It was really late at night, and the winds were just, I mean, very, very hard, and the boat was splish-splashing in the water. And Jesus saw the disciples, and they saw that they were in trouble. And so anyways, he started walking to them. And we're going to start at verse 29, Jesus 14:29. So he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked onto the boat to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And it's so awesome because even when we are faithless, God is faithful. He's there to reach out his hand and lift you back up. And it's just so awesome because we could have that confidence in him just to know that he is with us. Number two is fear. Fear does not come from God. What does fear do? It paralyzes us and it stops us from surrendering. There's an awesome analogy about this man that was climbing down a mountain in a blizzard. I mean, there was white everywhere. He could not see up. He could not see down, side, left, right. It was just white. And he's just there holding on to this rope. And he just cries out to God. He says, God, help me. And God answers him back and says, let go. Surrender. Just let go. Oh, God, I can't. I can't. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I just can't. God says, trust me. Just let go. Just surrender. I'm just too scared. I just can't. I'm just going to hold on to this rope. I'm just going to hold on to it. Well, the next day, the troopers came and they found a man dead, frozen onto a rope. But he was this far from the ground. Imagine that. And that's us sometimes. We're just so afraid. We just can't let go and surrender that God could just come and rescue you from wherever you're at, whatever is going on in your life. He just says, let go, surrender. He knows what is best for us. And there's no need to fear. In Hebrews, if you guys could turn there, Hebrews 13:5-6. It's kind of in the middle of 5. I'm going to start. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is your helper. Don't fear. In Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought Jehovah, and he answered me and delivered me out of all of my fear. And God will deliver you, but there's a portion in the front that says, I sought Jehovah. We need to seek him. Seek him and he will deliver you. And it's his promise. And since we're on fear, I'm going to go ahead and share with what happened with the whole Mexico, moving to Mexico thing. Pastor Brian was doing a study on the widow, the stranger, and the orphan. And it was a powerful, it was like a series. And, you know, God was stirring something in my heart, and one service, Hassan leaned over and said, hey, wouldn't that be great if that was us? I'm like, yeah, that would, you know. Well, later on, he ran to Pastor Brian and said, we want to go. We want to go. And so, you know, he came home And, you know, he's like, you know, I told Pastor Brian, but I don't think it's going to happen. He didn't seem excited, you know. He just said, I'll pray about it, you know. And so, I don't know. And so, anyways, a couple weeks had passed, and Hassan just kept coming home just like, babe, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's 2 weeks have gone by and nothing, you know. So, and I'm just kind of patting him on the back. Well, this wasn't meant to be, you know. You know, maybe next time, you know. And so, anyways, he goes he was going to the Bible college there. He comes home one Tuesday night and he says, I have the best news. You're not going to believe it. We're going. They're going to send us out. And I was like, yay. I mean, this fear just gripped me and just paralyzed me like no other. I started thinking the boys and medical and it's dangerous and the police and I don't speak the language and, you know, I'm going to have to leave my comfort and my family. And the enemy was working overtime here. And I was just like, you know, just gripped and paralyzed. But one thing I was like, you know what, God, this can't be your will. I know it's not your will. But I'm going to pray that either, God, you'll change his heart, Hassan's heart, or you'll change my heart. But either way, your will be done. Your will be done. And you know what? God is so gentle with us, because if you're going through something and you're scared to step out or you're scared to do it, God is so gentle. If you ask, your will be done, he will work that in you. Because over that year, it took us a year before we moved down there, I got to the point where I wanted to move down there, where I was like, that is my home. I want to be there. And it was like, I knew it was God because it was not me. I mean, I was clinging on for dear life here, you know, but God really just gently and slowly worked inside of me, because there's some people that when their salvations are like this, and other people, it's just a slow process, and he just works in you, and it's just so awesome how gentle and loving he is with us. Move on to number three, that we are women planted. That I was a woman planted. I was comfortable where I was at. I did not want to give up my dreams, my wants, and maybe that's you. You don't want to give up some things, and you're comfortable right where you're at. But you know what? Life is short. The Bible says it's like a vapor, like a blink of an eye. It says, do not get comfortable here, because this is not your home. Heaven is our home. The Bible even calls us sojourners and pilgrims. We could turn to 1 Peter 2:11. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul. And there is a war going on there. There is a war going on there. And that's why deny yourself and abstain from those fleshly lusts. We cannot look at surrender as a bad thing, because a lot of times you do. You look at surrender, it's like, I have to give up. You know, I don't want to just give up. I don't want to. But you know what? It's the best thing. And God knows it is the best thing. And God is a good God. He is the good shepherd. He cares for us. He knows that once we give up, that we will have life abundantly. In John 12:24, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, if the grain of wheat falls onto the earth and does not die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, what are the fruits? Love, peace, patience, joy, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All these things are going to be manifested. It says, but you have to first, what? Die. First, you have to die to yourself. Die to yourself, die to your wants, die to whatever it is that is keeping you from a better relationship with God. So our main goal shouldn't be our own happiness. We should first put God's will before our own. But he promises in his word. I love his word because it's full of promises. And it's like, once you know it, once you know that there's these promises, it's like you just stand firm on them. It's like, it says in your word. And in 1 John 5:14, if you guys could turn there if you want, it says, this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And it was so neat because last night I was praying, and I was praying for something that I wanted. I was like, oh, Lord, I want this, you know. And then I'm like, but you know what? Your will be done. And then I kind of got like the giggles because this verse came into me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he just heard me. He heard me. Thank you, Lord, you know. And it's just so exciting. Number four is we're not capable. You might think, I can't. I just can't do it. You don't know my past. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I come from. I just can't. Or you might even be saying, you know what? I tried. I tried it, but I can't. I just can't. I've done it. I've been there. I've tried to surrender. I just can't do it. But the thing is, you're right. You cannot do it. Not on your own strength. Not on your own strength. John 15:5, let's go there. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you could do nothing. So we need him. We need to first come to him. Lord, help me to surrender. Help me. I can't do it without you. Help me to start giving these things up. And it reminds me of driving. Okay, I just got this. I'm a picture person, and I get things if I get visual pictures. When you're driving, you have control, right? And I picture when you surrender your life and you give it, you're kind of giving God the steering wheel of your life. And he's now driving. And that's complete, you know, you're completely surrendering to him. Well, as soon as the road gets a little bumpy, and he's like going like off course, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And you like grab the wheel back and you like start like steering, you know, with one hand here. Okay, I got it again. Okay, thank you, you know. And then, you know, and there's certain things in our life that, you know, you might want to give up, but all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, I'm driving. How did I start driving? When did I take control? And God will gently tell you, I know like there's sometimes I feel like this heavy burden on me, and I'm just like, well, I can't carry this. It is just too heavy for me to carry. And all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, I'm driving. I'm trying to do this all on my own strength. And I'm just like, okay, God, take the wheel back. Take it back. And you know what? There's some of you that say, you know what? I give it and I just take it right back, and I don't know how to let it go. You know what? As soon as you realize you have it, you give it right back. You get it again, give it right back. Get it again, give it right back. You just keep doing it. Eventually, you'll be able just to let go and just keep giving him those things. Because if we do it on our own strength, it's not going to get done. It's not going to get done, and it's not going to please God. He wants to do it through you. In Matthew 11:28-29, let's go there. Matthew 11:28, I said that right? 11:28. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so it's just like, there's such like that Lisa was talking about, the, when you're able to give him that steering wheel and you surrender, and it's like, oh my gosh, all this weight just came off of me. Oh my gosh, it feels so good. Once you're able just to hand that over, he says, give it to me. And it's just such an awesome thing once you're able just to do that, because we go nowhere when we drive. Or we're going to end up crashing or running out of gas. It's just, we cannot do it on our own. Number five reason why we don't surrender our soul is pride. Maybe surrender means up giving up certain things, certain pleasures, certain luxuries, certain material things. Maybe it means giving up that prestigious job because you know that God doesn't want you there, or cutting up those credit cards because it's just drowning you in debt, but you're trying to keep up with everybody else. And God says, you know what, surrender whatever it is to me and humble yourself. James 4:6 says, God sets himself against the proud ones, but he gives grace to the humble ones. And there's a different kind of pride. There's spiritual pride. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, the surrender thing is a piece of cake. I got it covered. You know, I surrender daily. I do whatever I want. You know, oh, thank you. You know, this message really is for this sister over here. Or this message, you know, so-and-so should have come to this retreat because she needs to be hearing this. But you know what? It's like, thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector, right? And it's like, you know what? We need to examine our own self and find out where in our life we need to surrender, because none of us are perfect. All of us can surrender something. There's areas in our life that God is speaking to you right now, and you know what it is, and God is just gently working on it and saying, just let go of that rope. Just let go, because there's something so much better for you. Number six reason why we don't surrender our soul is we're deceived. There's a war going on for our soul. It's spiritual, and you can't see it right in front of your face. So we forget that it's there. We forget that it's going on, and we just start living our life, and we think we know what is best for us. I know what is best for me. I know. But Proverbs 3:5-7, I'm going to turn there. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We need to trust him completely. Trust him completely and lean not on our own understanding. What we think might be the best thing for us might not be the best thing. Just like when he's going off-roading, you're thinking, that course is a lot faster. Let's go this way. You know what I mean? But he's like, no, I know what I'm doing. You just trust me and go, and he will make your path straight. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is the ways of death. And that's Proverbs 14:12. Here's another scripture that I would like you guys to turn to is 2 Corinthians 4. This one is kind of a meaty scripture, so we're just going to chew it together, okay? It says, for all things are for your sakes. I'm going to stop right there. The all things that it's talking about are the trials, the tribulations, the persecution, those things are for your sakes. That grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So all these things that are happening in our lives, it will result in thanksgiving and bring glory to God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And here, the inward man is our soul. It's being renewed day by day, and that is why we do not faint. When we go to him and when we surrender to him, it will be renewed day by day, but you need to come to him. And it says that you will not lose heart. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And now this light affliction, see, when they're writing this, they're talking about being stoned, being beaten, being imprisoned, and yet they say it's a light affliction. But you know what? When it's weighed with the eternal glory, it seems so light because we know where we're going and we know what we're working for. And it says it's just for a moment. this life is but for a moment. It's like they say, like a drop of water in an ocean. This life compared to eternity is really so short. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the things that are in this life, they're all going to pass away. You know, just like there's a joke about, you know, putting like stuff in your casket or whatever and taking it up. I don't know, but I'll tell you after the service. But anyways, nothing is coming with us. The things that we're working for, if you're working for material things, it's gone. We need to be working for spiritual things, eternal things, things that are going to last forever. In 1 John 2:17, it says, the world is passing away and its lust, but the one doing the will of God abides forever. And now we know that it is his will to surrender our soul, to deny ourselves, to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. And I want to take this opportunity right now and pray for anyone here who maybe has not ever surrendered their soul, that wants to remove that heavy burden off of them and be able to give it to Jesus, to be able to spend eternal life with God. If you guys wouldn't mind just everyone bowing their heads. If there's anyone here that would like to invite Jesus into your life, that would like to surrender your soul this day, I pray that you would lift your hand and I will say a prayer for you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. I see that hand. Oh, glory to God. I see that hand. I see that hand. Jesus, you are so good. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, I know I have broken your laws, and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry, and I want to turn away from my past sinful life toward you. Please forgive me. Help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I surrender my soul to you. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Oh, glory to God.